You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Yeah, great to be with you. It's a Wednesday, the hump day of the week, and it's not far away from the weekend, let me tell you. Can't wait. When you start counting down for the weekend, middle of the week, time to maybe panic a bit. A few things happening around the world, but looking at Australia's magnificent periodical. It comes out every day. It's a dreadful, absolutely dreadful news magazine, news.com.au. Today, though, it's showing some very nice little stories about things that really don't matter to us. Margot, one of our star actresses, parties on the yacht with an A-lister. That's headlines. Also, details on one of our supermarket chains, Coles. It's the receipt and sparks a backlash because she was gypped out of, I think, 1 cent or something. Sad truth behind mum's 60-kilogram loss. There's another riveting story. And Queensland's cheapest house listed for $20,000. These are the stories that would be one of the worst newspapers God ever created. Actually, it's not a newspaper. It's just a combination of Rupert Murdoch's news services, and it shows you that trash does sell. It does sell indeed. Now, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you would like to hear on TNT Radio? Perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss. Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website and help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Opinions fact checked.
If we don't speak up now, nothing's going to change.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Joe Biden is the apparent leader of the rotten and dangerous government. What's more, the federal agencies responsible for justice, law and order, and intelligence, which is an oxymoron, are undoubtedly badly led and highly politicised. Now, while the actions of the FBI have raised serious questions, yesterday's raid of Donald Trump's private residence shows just how compromised this agency is and how far the Biden administration will go to pursue their goals. Steve Malzberg has been talking about the issues that matter for over 40 years on WABC, WOR Radio in New York City, as the host of the Steve Malzberg Show on Newsmax TV and host of Eat the Press on RT America. Steve is a passionate commentator, an intelligent bloke, as we would say in Australia, an award-winning interviewer with a sense of humour. And you might need that at times too here. We're also thrilled and very happy to have him join TNT Radio as a daily presenter Monday to Friday, starting from next Monday, in fact. Steve, thanks for joining us.
It is my pleasure. It's so good to say my first words on this great network, and I can't wait to get started next Monday. But there's never a dull moment, is there? Not for 1 second.
Well, you know what it's like behind the scenes, utter chaos. But providing it sounds like we're flowing, which is most likely an illusion with most stations, that's all that counts, because behind the scenes, it's never ending. What was news becomes old news. Looking at the raid on Trump's residence, it's a pretty significant development. It shows you that what they're doing is using law and order, or the FBI for this matter, as a political weapon. What's the ramifications?
Well, I mean, this is huge, and this is horrific. And there are those who are saying, I mean, you know, you get opinions from all over the place, but there are many who believe that this just proves that we no longer have democracy as we've known it in this country. I mean, let's look at what they've done here. And this comes after the fake investigation into Trump and Russia and the phoning impeachments, and we know what the intelligence community knew and went forward with it anyway. I mean, and their justification was Trump must be stopped at all costs. Well, if that's the justification, then there's not a democracy. And what we have here is they raided the home of a former president of the United States, apparently to get documents, because the National Archive, now these are all, this is a culmination in a, you know, of different reports that have been out there. We don't know for sure. President Trump has not shown us the warrant that enabled the agents to come in, and the FBI and the DOJ have not told us. But there's off the record sources that have been quoted, and there's speculation, and we do know what's been going on. The National Archives apparently went to the Justice Department and said, look, Trump stole or took with him when he left the White House a bunch of classified documents, national security related documents, documents and things that would not normally be given to the National Archives to be put in there, as other presidents have. Now, they've negotiated. The National Archive representatives were reportedly at the Trump place in February and June, and Trump gave them reportedly boxes and boxes of stuff, and they were talking. But for some unknown reason, all of a sudden, the National Archives said to the DOJ, you need to, you know, get us those documents now. It's a national security threat. So they go to a judge who reportedly has ties to Julian Epstein's former employees. Before he was a judge, he represented some of them. He grants the warrant. They raid the house. And by the way, you can't say raid anymore, because the FBI doesn't like, apparently, they don't use the term raid. That's what the media is now telling us at every turn. By the way, it wasn't a raid. The FBI doesn't raid. Okay, great. So you can't say raid because it's referring to Donald Trump. So they go into his, they raid his house. They show up with 30 agents or so. Trump's lawyers want to follow the agents into the rooms to see what's going on. And reportedly tonight, Trump's lawyers were not permitted to follow into the rooms. Now, on its face, the whole thing is crazy, but why? Why not, if there are documents outstanding, continue the negotiations with the National Archives, or get a subpoena, force him to hand them over, take it to court, have a court order that he hand it over. No, they raid his home.
Mm. A recent, in fact, in the last couple of hours, Fox's Peter Doocy had a bit of a to and fro from Karine Jean-Pierre, and she dodges just about all the questions. I'll just play this and get you your thoughts.
Is there a concern here that if you guys don't say more, then these Republicans who are accusing this White House of weaponizing the Justice Department, weaponizing the FBI, that's going to become the public sentiment? If you guys don't say once and for all, we are not doing that.
First of all, we're just not going to comment on the Department of Justice investigation.
Okay,
we're just not going to comment on that.
Is this White House weaponizing the Justice Department and the FBI against political opponents?
The president has been very clear from before he was elected, very clear on this. Hold on. Throughout his time in office.
I heard the quote. We will be playing the quote tonight at 6 o'clock. Is this administration weaponizing the Justice Department and the FBI against political opponents?
Peter, the president believes in the rule of law. The president believes in the independence of the Department
of
Justice.
That's a yes or no.
It's a yes or a no for you. I'm answering the question. You may not like it, but I'm answering the question. I'm answering the question, and I'm telling you that we are not going to comment on a criminal investigation. The president has been very clear. I laid out what his thoughts were back on January 7th in 2021 about how he saw the Department of Justice. And I'm just going to leave it there. We're not going to comment from here, from this White House, on a criminal investigation that is currently happening.
Steve, she's an all-class act, isn't she?
I got to tell you, she belongs with Kamala Harris because you talk about Dumb and Dumber. Usually this woman is reading every answer. She can't answer a question at the White House press briefing without looking in her book and checking her notes, like Biden. The fact that she tell me what sense it makes for her not to say, of course, we're not weaponizing the Justice Department and law enforcement against political enemies. Of course we're not. Why couldn't she spit those words out? What? I don't even get that. Even if you're lying, why wouldn't you say it?
Well, you mentioned you mentioned she belongs with Kamala. I've just been finding the elementary schools, and apparently none will take her back because she failed so many times. But it's a really poor state. I mean, you've got probably the worst president. I always thought Obama was the worst president, but you have the worst president in the history of the United States. You have got the administration, which is the worst administration in the United States. And now we have this abomination of liberty and, you know, all sorts of, you know, decent things. I mean, the U.S. is not, you know, there's a whole bunch more we could talk about, yeah, from your your new green energy policies and the war in Ukraine and the, you know, the approach to Taiwan and all that. The U.S. used to be the leader of the Western world. Do you think the Western world wants the U.S. to be the leader anymore?
Well, I mean, you know, when it comes to certain things, certainly. You know, when it comes to paying for things, certainly. And there's no way around it, notwithstanding the fact that it appears our military leaders are more interested in making sure that people who are changing sexes get their sex change operations, and that everything is done for racial equity within the military, than they are, you know, supplying themselves with the weaponry needed to deter countries like China and Russia and beat those countries. I still believe that, you know, we are the most powerful nation in the world. So sure. I mean, they're going to continue to look to the United States on many levels. But if I may digress for just one second, you know, you talk about you thought Obama was the worst president. After Joe Biden won the presidency, after the election, before he was sworn in, the end of November of 2020, I guess it was, 1920, yeah, he did an interview, a late night interview, and he was asked, Obama was, plugging his book, he was asked, did you ever think what a third term would be like for you? Now, you have to remember that there's not a bigger narcissist than Barack Obama on the face of the earth. Only a narcissist would say this, and I believe there's some truth to it here. He said, well, I've often thought what it would be like to, you know, be in a basement somewhere and have a guy, someone in the Oval Office with an earpiece, and I'm paraphrasing now, telling them what to do. Mm. And that, I believe, not that Biden wears an earpiece because he couldn't hear it or understand it anyway, but you got Susan Rice in the White House. You have other Obama people in the White House. This is Obama's third term. Biden doesn't know what he's doing. He does as he's told, and he doesn't have a clue. I think that's obvious. Mm. This is Obama. Look what's happening to the United States. He's trying to destroy it like he would have loved to have destroyed it in many respects. I don't mean literally, during his two terms, and he couldn't.
Yeah, I just I have to say, because somebody said the other day that they thought Obama is the longest serving president, and now you have Michelle Obama doing exactly what he did on the lead up to his first term as president. And I actually believe the Michelle Obama will be. I don't think Joe Biden's going to do it. I think he's just quite fanciful. They won't let him do it. But as for Michelle Obama, I think, you know, I would like to say that she will be the candidate for the next, and she will be with Newsom running as the 2IC second in charge. So, do you see anyone else that could challenge them? Because if Michelle Obama won, and we know that she's a complete fraud, she would actually get in. I think she'd have a good chance because she's almost like Teflon Michelle. Nothing sticks.
Right. Well, the media would put her on a pedestal that we've never seen before, of course. I mean, you know, for racial reasons, for gender reasons, for, you know, she was already in the white. I mean, the attributes are going to be limitless, according to the media. But I don't know. I mean, you know, I think you do have Gavin Newsom. I think you do have, and I don't get this, I'll never get this, Pete Buttigieg.
Really? Why would you have him?
Diversity. He's talked. Diversity, gay, and I mean, he was a disaster as a mayor. He's a disaster as a transportation secretary. But they talk about him as a possibility. Mm. And what are you going to do? Kamala's going to just ride off into the sunset? Look, I don't think Joe Biden's making it past the next 2 years.
She won't ride off into the sunset because she took the same bicycle lessons as Joe did.
But you know, Joe, did you hear Joe today? And I don't want anything to happen to him. He couldn't. I mean, you think Hillary coughed? He couldn't stop coughing today. I mean, he's supposed to be okay now with the COVID, and he couldn't stop coughing.
Wow.
Now, let's say he doesn't make the next 2 years, which I don't think he will. I mean, then Kamala Harris will be the incumbent president. She's not going to go away from Michelle Obama.
No.
It's going to be crazy. Crazy.
Now, the thing that actually is starting to grab, once people understand the ramifications of the Inflation Reduction Bill, there's going to be of course they say it's going to reduce, stop inflation. They're saying that within a month it's going to just go bang, and you're going to have inflation will rise even more. What's the general consensus from the everyday public when it comes to the Inflation Reduction Bill?
I don't think that they care. I think the media. I don't think people. If people see something happen, but if it's, first of all, any bill, it's not even passed yet. It didn't pass the House yet. It's not signed into law yet. So any bill, there's not an immediate effect of a bill. I don't think anything could happen within a month. I'd be shocked. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to tell people, hey, we passed this, we passed that. Now, if inflation keeps rising, between now and the first week in November, which is only a couple of months away or 3 months away, September, October, 3 months away, a little less now. I don't think the fact that they passed this is going to make a world of difference. And you do have gas prices that have come down a bit, and they've continued to fall a bit, but they're still much higher than they were a year ago. But you have prices at the supermarket and prices all over just insane. Out of control. So the fact that a bill was passed, I don't think the average person, who's got to cough up this money is going to say, oh, well, I'm going to pull the lever for a Democrat because they passed this bill. I just don't think that they care until they see results.
Yeah, they're being bashed around the head by part of the world, but the Western media is still, or legacy media and all the other Western leaders seem to be behind what the US is doing at the moment, whether it's China or Ukraine, whatever you want to pick at. Even domestically, we see that not a whole lot is said by Western media or legacy media in countries such as UK, Australia, New Zealand, other places, Canada even. They sort of go along with the narrative. What about Hillary? I mean, here's a woman, and she should be in Rikers. She should be in cell number 42 in Rikers, because and I can say this because not fearful of anything happening. She has been proven to have done some pretty bad things, to say the least, and to have her still untouched, and they go out and visit Donald Trump, bypassing Hunter Biden's house and all that sort of stuff. I mean, what do you think anything will ever happen to Hillary? And secondly, we know there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes which we really can't talk about. But the husband isn't all that safe either from future processes down the line.
No, there's absolutely nothing. Look, I don't know how much you heard of what I was saying at the beginning of the show when I was first introduced so graciously by you, Mike, because before I cut off. But I did bring up the fact that, Hillary Clinton, they subpoenaed 33,000 of her emails, and she then proceeded to get rid of them, and nothing happened to her. Now, it's not like Donald Trump, going back to the raid on his home. Donald Trump didn't have these subpoenaed. You know, I mean, these alleged documents that allegedly the National Archives want. If nothing happened to her with the 33,000 emails and a variety of other things along the way throughout the decades, as you alluded to, which it's too numerous to get into. But if nothing happened to her legally from those emails, a cut and dry case, if it were to be tried or adjudicated, nothing's going to happen ever to Bill or Hillary Clinton. Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting journey. I often use this, but the Chinese say, may you lead an interesting life. One would like it to be less interesting at the moment. Steve, thank you very much for your time. We'll be looking forward to your foray into TNT Radio Land. And again, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a quick check of the day's headlines. Republicans have condemned the FBI's raid on former President Donald Trump and have vowed to investigate the agency's actions when they take back control of Congress. It's been revealed Israeli security forces shot and killed two teenage Palestinians during clashes in the occupied West Bank on Tuesday. And despite ratcheting up tensions with China by visiting Taiwan, US House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says her trip was worth it.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, before we go to our next guest, we just got hold of one of our news department guys here, decided to put this together for a community announcement. You could probably say it's with the Inflation Reduction Act about to happen. Just has to go through Congress in the U.S. Has 10 desperately needed projects funded by the Inflation Reduction Act.
Thanks, Mike. The Inflation Reduction Act is rampaging through Congress right now and is expected to become the law of the land. But what is in the bill? We went through the text line by line so that you and members of Congress don't have to. Here are the most interesting projects funded by the bill. 1. $10,000 for a money gun Joe Manchin can fire into the crowd at West Virginia football games. 2. $1 billion to mail every American their own copy of Morbius. It would bring America together. 3. $45 billion for the establishment of a new federal agency to investigate why Biden fell off his bicycle. Experts believe it may be linked to climate change. 4. A requirement that all American nuclear missiles must be solar powered by 2030, an important step for green energy. 5. $77 billion to invest in an industrial-sized flamethrower for setting money on fire. Remove the money, remove the inflation. Problem solved. 6. $20.88 million to fund free gym memberships for all IRS agents to make them more intimidating. Body slam, crunch, blammo. 7. $4.5 billion for another Zelensky Vogue photo shoot. He's so dreamy. 8. A personal guarantee to Joe Manchin that the electricity for your new car will come from good, clean West Virginia coal. Not positive there, but we'll follow through on this one. 9. $400 billion explicitly set aside to increase inflation. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And 10, funeral expenses for AOC. It's the right thing to do after her tragic death on January 6th. Back to you, Mike.
And thank you very much, Mr. O'Neill. True, though, I mean, we may be joking, but a lot of those things, you can bet your bottom dollar that the Democrats are going to be pushing some of those things through, which will create inflation, by the way. You think it's steep now, you wait till a month after it is implemented. We have lots of conflicting statistics coming through on COVID-19, fear porn propaganda mixed with unreliable statistics. It's hard to know what's going on. But that's the objective, isn't it? John Parsons describes himself as an undereducated biologist. He's been involved in science research projects since 1995. John's an avid researcher on COVID-19 and knows a lot about life and self-sufficiency and is a regular guest on TNT Radio. John, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mike. Yeah.
Now, mainstream media is finally reporting that the COVID deaths in WA are just 10% of COVID lives claimed. Now, MSN doesn't question why this has occurred. Tell us what your thoughts are.
Well, you know, like if ever there was a time in history where we needed to know exactly what's going on, the amount of money that's been spent, the lockdowns, the whole scenario that's gone on since day one, there's no question there's people dying more now than what there was when it started, apparently. And there's question marks over what they're dying from, why they're dying, and of course we have our opinions of what could be causing it. But none of us can actually do it, come up with the definitive answer. With, you know, the RAT test coming up with so many false positives. I saw someone the other day saying they tested every day in a week and it was negative. And then they came back and they did another test and they came back positive. And the PCR tests, as we all know, are completely, you know, spun out. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to spin them out to get an answer. So, you know, the autopsies, no autopsies. You know, it's been a question mark, more so now than before, but at the beginning is when we should have had the control groups. You know, here's the people that didn't get vaxxed. Even if we had to volunteer, I would have volunteered. Mm. I'm a no-vax person, so let's just see what happens to me and in different age groups, because obviously this is age-orientated. So it's near impossible to give accurate answer to your question. Mm. And is that the reasoning? Is it?
No, it's not.
Whereas we're all too hard, just throw your hands in there, take the vax and move on. Mm.
Let me just suffer the
consequences.
Let me play this clip and this will help add some substance to what you're saying.
We have a COVID bombshell tonight with figures revealing the true number of deaths is much lower than feared. Just 10% of WA lives claimed have been from the virus alone.
30 new beds in a modular ward at Rockingham Hospital at a time they're desperately needed.
This is designed to provide additional beds to alleviate pressure on the hospital system.
That pressure is at boiling point and COVID isn't helping.
Overcrowding is the overwhelmingly dominant theme in all our emergency departments.
But new figures obtained by WA Today show the virus hasn't been as deadly as once feared. In the state's first 6 months of Omicron, there were 192 deaths from 902,000 cases, only 18 of them caused by COVID alone. In 49 deaths, the virus led to fatal complications such as pneumonia, 31 were coupled with pre-existing conditions, and the majority were a combination of all three. Only half the government's death tally can be attributed to the virus.
It's very difficult to differentiate between with and for. If someone has a range of comorbidities and chronic conditions, it's very difficult to determine whether it's the actual cause of death.
Experts crediting our high level of vaccination.
I think if you look back to the case fatality rate back in the eastern states and Victoria and New South Wales before the vaccination rates, it was about 3%, and that would equate to about 150 deaths a day.
Also rare, the use of ventilators, a common sight early in the pandemic.
It is just a tipping point on top of multiple other chronic issues. It's rare that it's hitting people who have nothing else.
Mm. This might also, John, if you can just bear with me, I've got a 30-second clip from Taiwan. This will show you that and help illustrate that what we're being told in this country is nothing but just, well, it's stuff that horses do.
Taiwan, the number of people dying after their COVID vaccination is exceeding the number of deaths from the virus itself. Taiwan's health authorities say that as of Monday, deaths after vaccination reached 865, while deaths from the virus are at 845. Vaccines currently offered in Taiwan include AstraZeneca, Moderna, Pfizer BioNTech, and Taiwan's own vaccine, Medigen. Out of the 865 deaths after vaccination, over 600 were from AstraZeneca and nearly 200 deaths after Moderna shot.
So it shows you that what we have is governments playing tricks with figures and data and the truth. Do you ever think we'll know the truth?
Well, let's hope so. I was taught data. That's the answer. And if you can't rely on the data, if you can't rely on the assessment of the data, if you can't the collection of the data, it's just one complete hodgepodge, and no one seems to be able to come up with the answers. There's no question the vaccines are a failure in the form of reaction. In other words, there's so many people die from the reaction, as Taiwan just quoted. Then there's the problem, which is, I think, the biggest problem of all, is the immune damage. In other words, you've got a situation where this thing has damaged the immune system, confused, if you want to use the simpler term, confused the immune system, so it's acting in a way that it's doing the wrong thing for the wrong, we've given it the wrong ammunition for the wrong target for a start. But by occupying it in that direction, it's not doing its job for other diseases. And what we seem to see now, and it's not just diseases and viruses, we separate the two, the viruses and the diseases. So, you know, Ryan Carl's explained to us about what it's doing in the form of cancer counts coming up and all sorts of cancers. The damage it's doing to the immune system and the way it responds to other diseases. And here we have all these different viruses, and there's a new one coming out in China right now that's come out from some sort of mouse that's, another virus that's going to be a problem. Well, my question is, with this monkeypox and all these other viruses, are they what's called latent viruses? In other words, we had a herd immunity. We had a herd that was protected, and these viruses couldn't come into it. And that was the whole reason they went for this vaccination program that they gave on this. It was supposedly to build a herd immunity. Well, that's never happened from a vaccination in history, so I don't know why they told us that lie. But we had a herd immunity from pox viruses, not chicken pox, that's a different thing, but smallpox and cowpox, that sort of thing. So in other words, there's no way this monkeypox could have emerged globally like it's done and attacking multiple countries at multiple times. I know there was those big festivals, and those festivals spread it throughout certain areas. Okay, I'll go with the so-called gay community problem. There's a little bit of a reasoning behind that they've, you know, could be a bit of a kickstart. But for it to be able to get a go on like it's done, it must have been out in the community, sitting out there, kept at bay by our immune system, and therefore it was only occasionally getting through the firewall, which is our herd immune system. And suddenly, with all these people vaxxed, this majority of people around the world vaxxed, their immune system had been damaged, and these latent viruses seem to be coming on board. Now, so we've got multiple different reasons we can come up with that this vaccination program is doing what it's doing in Taiwan. You know, like, there is so many different things. Like, you know, like the Norman Lindsay virus, the magic pudding, you know. No matter how much you eat of this thing, it keeps on giving more. I've never been so uncertain of something in my life as what I am of answering a question that comes up like we're putting up today. And if I can't find the research to prove one way or the other, I'm confused. Mm. Surely it's a confusing...
But they love the idea of scaring the bejeebies. And I would imagine that, I mean, this scare campaign, the virus itself, the COVID scare and the vaccines, inverted commas, they've poured a lot of money into that. And, of course, they're not going to let that just go away like that. They've got to make sure they have that control.
Just as South Australians move past the Omicron peak, experts are preparing for a new wave in just a few months. Let's go live to Kimberly Pratt. And Kim, cases are tipped to surge again ahead of summer.
That's right, Jane. The next wave is predicted to hit towards the end of the school year in November. If you look at the pattern, you'll see Omicron tends to peak every 4 months. Concerningly, though, there's still a lot of infection in the off-peak periods, which is putting continual pressure on the health system. Epidemiologist Adrian Esterman says the best case scenario for everybody is for Omicron to stay dominant and create new strains. That way, each peak will get smaller until overall rates become static.
That might all be thrown out the window if we get another new variant that comes along. So this will be pi would be the next one. If that happens, then we might start getting very high peaks again and the whole thing starts again.
So far this year, COVID is Australia's third biggest killer, with deaths expected to pass 7,000 in 7 months. That's higher than lung cancer and strokes, but less than heart disease and dementia. Today's new cases increased to 1,625, with more than 300 in hospital, including 10 in intensive care. There are also seven more deaths, including a man in his 40s. Authorities say they're also concerned about COVID reinfection, because the more time someone catches the virus, the higher their likelihood of getting long COVID.
So there you are, John. They're already ramping up for yet another scare campaign. We have monkeypox and we have the one in China. I mean, it's 'tis the season to have viruses, I would seem to be the case.
Yeah, the year or the century or the millennia of viruses. No one's ever seen anything like it. There's no question there is something there. If we had only let this thing run in the beginning, if we hadn't attacked it, it wouldn't have defended itself by mutation. Mm. And that's exactly what that doctor just, or that presenter just said that they were talking about, was the only best hope we've got is Omicron going along and getting, before, and therefore we get some sort of immunity from it. That's what she was basically saying. Well, why didn't we say that in the beginning? And we wouldn't have pushed this virus into an, it would have done what most viruses do, which was to gradually and eventually become less powerful and to disappear and become endemic and in a reasonable coronavirus way, which we've put up with. But by doing what we've done, we may have done ourselves a lot of damage. But how can we answer that when we've got this question of died with COVID or died as a result of COVID or comorbidities or whatever else? I think the best way to look at this is we have to realise that death is part of life, and pity we hadn't have done that in the beginning and said, righto, there is going to be some fatalities, there is going to be some people that we've kept alive through medication and support, and those people may well be victims in this novel virus scenario, and we're going to have to put up with that. Mm. And the young people are going to survive, the kids are going to be great, we're going to get ourselves immunity by catching the virus. We're not going to stuff our immune system up by injecting ourselves with something half-baked. And we could have well been out of this by now. But we aren't. And here we are with, the economic damage done by those shutdowns, I don't think a generation will cut it. We'll be... And what it will lead to, what it will lead to in the way of, we all know that they're looking at other reasons to call lockdowns and people control and bring in digital ID. It's either all well designed or a bloody great accident that was perfectly timed.
Yeah, I totally agree. Right. Now, just wait for 1 second, John. We'll go to a commercial break. When we come back, I want to play you. It goes for about 6 minutes, actually, but it's a call between a father whose son is in hospital because of myocarditis performed after the injection from a pharmacist in New York. We'll play that, and it's actually it's quite horrific, and I'll get your views on that one too. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Oh, where is the hurricane season? Oh, where can it be? Now look, TNT listeners, the rest of this has to be better. And when you recoil from the horror of climate change, just think, you went through listening to me sing. The fact is, the hurricane season in the Atlantic is only 20% of normal right now. We are anticipating it to come to life big time later this month and on into September. As a matter of fact, there are some correlations to years where the east coast of the United States gets hit worse. Speaking of the eastern United States, it's going to cool down quite a bit. Western Europe is boiling away, but they're going to cool down in week two. And Central Asia, holy smokes, major cold shock coming in next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT, asking you to enjoy the weather. It is the only weather you've got.
Join the pink frilly tutus.
Join the walkers, the joggers, the runners.
Join the people remembering friends, family, loved ones.
Join the kids, the mothers, the grannies.
Join those who are living with cancer.
Join those who have beaten it.
Join the most fantastic day.
Join the 5 and 10K events making a difference in the fight to beat cancer.
Join the girls this summer at Tesco and Cancer Research UK's Race for Life. Join now. Find an event near you at raceforlife.org.
News more twisted than soap operas and with worse actors. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
My guest is John Parsons. I'll just play this, John. This goes for a couple of minutes, by the way. It's a father who has a son that's has a chance of dying within 5 years after being jibby-jabbed.
Chris, your father's station, you're speaking.
Yeah, hi. Are you a pharmacist?
Yes, how can I help?
Yeah, hey, I've got a question. My wife, against my wishes, brought my son, 7-year-old son, in there a few days ago for a COVID jab, and he's now in the hospital with myocarditis. And I was obviously not very happy with you guys or with my wife. She told me that she was not told that was a potential side effect. So why wouldn't you have told her that?
Okay. Sorry. So it's quite a rare side effect as well.
No, it's not that. No, it's not, because I've been doing research. It's common. In the U.S., there's tens of thousands of them reported to the CDC site. So why are you not telling parents this?
We might scare the parents and they don't want to get their child vaccinated.
Yeah, so you don't want to scare the parents with something that is actually happening, that's happened to my kid. Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? You don't want to scare them. You need to give them the right information so they can make a proper decision. What is wrong with you? You don't want to scare them. I'm recording this conversation as well, and this is going to a lawyer next. Thank you for admitting that. So why don't you tell them? When someone comes in there and says, hey, what can go wrong? What do you say, sore arm? Have you seen the amount of dead people? Have you seen it?
Has your wife asked before giving consent to give...
She asked what the side effects are.
Does she ask? I'm not sure because I wasn't there.
It doesn't matter. You're supposed to tell people this can happen. Now my kid... So you know what the prognosis is? You know what it is? Possible death within 5 years. 20% of people with myocarditis die. It is a permanent damaged heart. It is not temporary. He's facing a heart transplant because of you. And you're giving this stuff out and you're not warning people. What is wrong with you?
So there are information online that you can look up.
No,
and also, have you talked to the helpline?
No, you gave the shot. When someone comes in there and asks what the side effects are, you don't not say because it might scare them from the shot. What is wrong with you?
So the benefit of getting the vaccination is... So we're giving the vaccination because the benefit outweighed the risk?
No, there isn't. Do you know I'm looking at a Johns Hopkins study? There have been 400 people under 18 die in the United States. 330 million people. Not one of them was healthy. They had cancer, leukemia, obesity, something wrong with them. Not one kid has died or ended up in the hospital. So the benefits are zero to my kid. Why did you not tell them? It's up to you to tell them. Then we make a decision. Not you. You tell us, okay, it's rare, but it happens. You didn't tell her that, did you?
I'm not sure. I wasn't the vaccinator.
Whoever you said, you're not doing it. So when the next kid walks in there with a mother for a shot, are you going to tell them, hey, I just got a call from someone. Their kid's heart is destroyed. Keep that in mind. That can happen. Are you going to tell them that? Are you?
I cannot answer you that.
Why can't you? Because it's going to go to court and you'll answer it. You just admitted that you don't tell people because you don't want to scare them. It's recorded.
I'm not sure.
Everything.
Huh? Sorry, I wasn't the pharmacist that
Doesn't
did the vaccination.
Matter. You just said it. You just said
I don't know what
people.
The situation is.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know what she took in the vaccination area. I'm not sure.
You
I cannot speak.
Don't try and pull
I
it
cannot
back.
Speak
no.
on behalf of who, the pharmacist that vaccinated.
You just told me you don't tell people because you might scare them. I have it on a recording. You want me to play it back? Every call I make, because I'm in finance, every call I make is recorded. Every email I sent is recorded. Every message I sent must be recorded, because I work out of New York and I live in New Zealand. It's all recorded because of the SFC requires it. You are recorded.
Why? Sorry.
So you're telling people, you're not telling them they could get damaged. So in case you scare them from taking a shot that can kill them, right? Is that correct? Are you brain dead? What is wrong with you?
Sorry, I don't think we should continue this conversation.
No, we should, because are you going to tell people this is a risk when they come through there? My kid's screwed. You screwed him. What about everyone else? What are you going to do? You've ruined a life. It's on you for the rest of your life. This kid is screwed because of you, because your policy there is to not tell people that these vaccines are dangerous and deadly. Have you seen all the people dying in their sleep? Hundreds of them. Have you seen yesterday an NFL first round draft pick 24 died? An NBA first round draft pick died 4 days ago, dead after the shot. Are you seeing that? Or are you sitting there in your bubble collecting your $50 every shot you give, you murderer? So what are you going to do? Are you going to tell parents? Are you going to say, look, this is what can happen. It's not a sore shoulder. That's usual, but they can ruin their lives. How do you feel about that? You're ruining lives. Are you going to tell them or not? Are you going to continue to do this?
That's not what... the decision that I make.
It isn't. So you're just going to tell people, oh, nothing can go wrong and more kids are going to end up in the hospital with ruined hearts, right?
So there you are, John. That's a pretty wild thing to say the least. But
heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a bit more, but I've just cut that out because we get the whole story. And that they are not telling the consent form people sign, they're not being told the full story. And I think it's terrible. But look what it did to the poor family.
Oh, there's no benefit in injecting a child, not to the herd, not to the individual, no benefit whatsoever. The amount of children that have died is absolutely ridiculously low. And then you can't identify it, like we've been saying, of what caused the death. It's just, that is tragic. Mm. And I've been saying to you many times, myocarditis is a death sentence. And they even have done tests on multiple people that have shown no symptoms, young men, and they are finding 60% to 70% of them have got some sort of heart damage that they don't even know about. So we are going to see dramatic 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 year. Gee whiz, it would have been good if we had done some long-term studies on this thing, had some different control groups. It is a tragedy of our own making. I just think if we had to let this thing alone, let it run, admit it to ourselves that you get old and you die, really we've got so many people in this society today, and probably myself included, that, you know, could have died at many times, but we've been kept alive, we've had a bit of good luck, we've had a bit of a good run, we had some important medication, even if it's only an appendix operation. We've been kept alive where in previous times we'd have reached a certain age and died. Average age of a human back in Captain Cook's day was like 40. Now it's more like 80. So we've obviously done something and people have got this urge to live to 100. I think most of the people that have died of this virus are over 60, and really you've had your run, you know, I have. So we should have just let that be a part of... Death should have been allowed to be part of life,
And here we are, we've risked the younger generation, we've damaged the younger generation, all because us oldies want to live for another 20 years.
Mm.
I just think we've gone about it completely wrong, and I don't know if we can turn it around. I think we've created a virus that's far more serious than it was originally. I think we've given ourselves all these injuries, we've given ourselves all this damage to our immune system, which has encouraged other latent viruses that were finished with.
Yep. We've got to go, John. Got to go. Sorry about that. We'll talk to you again soon. This is TNT Radio.